We begin the current davening, septus krisis dav chavfei. Begin on the bottom of chavdal mambeis, three lines up in the bottom of the yamid. Where the Gemara goes back to the halacha of our Mishnah, which was discussing regarding Ashram Tali. If a person finds out that he doesn't have to bring the Ashram Tali, so then there were certain halachas that relate to it. And the Mishnah said, Ashram Vadei Einikin v'chulu, regarding Ashram Vadei, that we don't have the machligis remain the Rabbanan. There the Rabbanan would agree that regarding if the person finds out that this regular Ashram, Ashram Nazir, whatever the Ashram, Ashram Megillus, that he finds out he doesn't have to bring it. If it was before the slaughtering of the animal, then they would agree that there he could go just graze like any chulun animal. Now, chulu, etc. Which one of the other halachas, which actually will come up in the Gemara's discussion, was also Egla Rufa is also different than Ashram Tali. If you find out before the calf is decapitated, then they could just go out and graze like any other animal. Now, so relating back to that halacha, the Gemara introduces Itma, the following Machlekes Amaram. Egla Rufa, regarding the decapitated calf, which is when they find a dead person on the road, some highway in between cities, they don't know who killed them, the closest city has to bring this calf, and it gets decapitated there in the valley, and the halacha is that it becomes forbidden to have any benefit from that calf. So says the Gemara, Emesai Neseres, from what point on is it, quote, considered like the Egla Rufa, that it's forbidden to have benefit from it? So Rav Amnuna Amami Mechaim says, even when it's still alive, and Rav Amala Acharifa says, from when it becomes decapitated. So says the Gemara, Bishlam the Rabbi, understand according to Rava, that Me'idna this Avid B'Maisa, from the moment that an action is done to it, when it becomes decapitated, that's when it becomes forbidden. El Rav Amnuna Me'emetzai, from when it's alive, does it become forbidden as the Egla Rufa. So the Gemara continues in Tamil Chafayim and Alvin, Amr B'Yana, he says, Gvul Shemati, but he says, I heard a boundary defining characteristic from when it becomes forbidden, but for Shechachti, I forgot. Now, v'nasvin chavrayi lamemer, but the colleagues, they thought to say that yiridasul nachal eisen asrasa. It's when it goes down to the valley. At that point is when it's already in the area of the halacha of decapitating it. That, even though it's still alive, is the moment when it becomes forbidden. Amrav Abnun, he says, emanamila, where do I know this halacha that I'm saying, that it actually becomes forbidden even when it's still alive? Because it's not, he proves it by Mishnah Masechta Schul. Mishnah says, if someone already slaughtered either a parent or a child, and then it goes and slaughters the other one, whether it be the parent or the child, then that's Isra of Isra Bespinai. Now the Mishnah they discuss, but if let's say the other one is Hasheichid Parashatas, someone slaughters the Paraduma, or Vishar Haniskal, or the ox that has to be stoned, or Ve'egla Rufa, or the decapitated calf, as the other one. So they Rib Shimon Paiter. Shimon says that's not a liability of Isra's Bespinai, because as we're going to shortly explain, it's not qualified as a halachic shechita, because these things are not permitted to be slaughtered. It's not a slaughtering that would permit it to be eaten, because these things are forbidden. They have to be utilized for other things. And therefore, it's not considered, quote, a slaughtering of the other parent or the child. And therefore, one is exempt. V'chamachayim v'chamim say, no, you're liable, because ultimately you slaughtered a parent and a child on the same day. So says Rav Amnuna Bishlam, it makes sense according to me. Damina Michaim, I say, talking about specifically regarding one of the cases, Egla Rufa, that has become forbidden even when they're still alive. So, Baha Pligi, Rabbi Shimon Rabban, we could understand the Machligis, Rabbi Shimon Rabban. Rabbi Shimon Saba, he held Shechita She'in Eruya, a slaughtering that's not fit for what's the purpose of slaughtering, is for consumption purposes. If it's not going to make it fit for consumption, like in this situation where the Egla Rufa, even though it's still alive, because we're slaughtering it, it wasn't dead yet, is going to make it forbidden to be eaten, because it's already forbidden as Egla Rufa, according to Rabbi Nunu, when it's still alive. He holds, therefore, Loish Mashkit is not qualified as a slaughtering. And therefore, it's not going to be Isra of slaughtering Oisav Espenai, because you didn't slaughter. Whereas Rabbana Ami, they would say, no, Shkit is Shenaru, Yish Mashkit, you still did a slaughtering, even though you can't eat it, and therefore that's why they held that you're going to be Chayim. But Eli Yamar Lacha Rifa, but if you hold not like me, says Rabbi Nuna, that the Egla Rufa only becomes forbidden once it's decapitated. So my part, Rabbi Shimon. So why in the case of Egla Rufa, do Rabbi Shimon say that one is exempt? Shkit Ruyehi. This is a slaughtering that will make it permitted to be eaten. It's not usher yet as Egla Rufa. It's like a regular calf. So it is an appropriate slaughtering. So why Rabbi Shimon say that you're going to be potter? Chitim, if you're going to tell me, oh, no, it's not a proof. Why? Because Sav Rabbi Shimon held Egla b'shchita k'shera. The halacha of decapitating the calf is actually valid for its atonement even with slaughtering. Decapitating is chopping off the head. Slaughtering is doing the same thing. And therefore, you're going to tell me that no, even though you're right, it's not us when it's alive, but the act of slaughtering is not going to be, quote, roi l'achil, to be eaten, because the slaughtering takes the place of the arifa, which is what makes it forbidden. And that's where Rabbi Shimon says you're going to be potter. And that says, Rav Nun, you can't say that, because Vatnan will learn the Mishnah Masechta Schulim that says that what's kasha b'para, what's valid in the procedure of the para duma, is possible be'egla rufa, is not valid in the procedure of the decapitated calf. And what's possible par, what's not valid by the paraduma, the red heifer, which is its ashes are used for the purification of a person who became tummy with a dead person, is kasha be'egla rufa, is what's actually valid for the procedure of the egla rufa, which again is when they find the dead person and the closest it is to bring them. As the Gemara explains, what does that mean? Para b'shchitik sher. By the paraduma, what you have to do is you have to do a regular slaughtering on this carbon of the paraduma. Slaughtering is valid, but rifa psula. But decapitating, it doesn't work for the procedure of the paraduma. And the inverse, egla ba'arifik shera, the calf is only valid with decapitating, b'shchita psula, we see that, no, slaughtering is not valid. So if slaughtering is not going to be the arifa, so then according to the ones who hold that mechaim, it's still mutter, so why would Reb Shimon say you're going to be patur? So ishtik, so Rabbi was silent. Now labasa denafik, after Rav Amnuna left, so Amar Rabbi said, my time eloi minilei, why didn't I answer to show that it's not approved? And I could have said, you're right, you brought a Mishnah. But Reb Shimon Sav, he disagrees. Reb Shimon, who we're discussing, he holds Egla b'shchita k'shera. That, no, that actually the procedure of the Egla Rufa is valid, not just with decapitating, but also with slaughtering. And therefore it's going to make it asa, and therefore it's going to be patik, it's not a shchita ruya. But the Gemara says, no, Rav Nuna Amalach, Rav Nuna would have told you, lo nishtamet tana, we don't find any tana de nashmi'ina that we hear that Egla b'shchita k'shera, that says that opinion that the calf's decapitation is valid with slaughtering. The tame Reb Shimon need to say that that tana is Reb Shimon, and therefore Rav Nuna would not have accepted that, and therefore that was his proof to show that you see that it's actually going to be usur, even mechayim, that's what Reb Shimon says, it's going to be pot. Now, Amar Rav, he says, Menon Minilei, says, and what's my proof that I show that it's only usur after the decapitation? It did not. We learned in our Mishnah. Mishnah says, another case, like we said, regarding the Asham Vadai, that Egla Rufa Enik, and also the Egla Rufa is also not the same as the Asham Tali. Meaning that here the Rabbanan are not going to disagree. And that is if actually Nerfa, if you find out who actually murdered this person before the calf was decapitated, so then Teitzev Terebeid, the Chum would agree, there's no Liba Noikvi over here. And rather the calf could just go and be a regular chulin animal in the flock. Now, says Rava, V'iyamrit Michaim, if you say like Rav Nuna, that it's forbidden when it's still alive, amai teitzev eter beida. Why could the calf go and be like a regular chulin animal? Hoyitzer l'mechayim. You're right, they didn't decapitate it, but it's already forbidden when it was still alive, when it was brought down to Nachal Esan, to the valley, not to the hard valley. So Zigmar, no, it's not a riot. Sni, you have to read it. It means actually nearest larifa. Until they found out who murdered the person, until it wasn't yet even proper to decapitate the calf, meaning they didn't bring it down to Nachal Esan yet. So that's not difficult on Rav Nuna yet. It wasn't usur, because even Mechaim, it's only once you bring it to Nachal Esan. So on that says Rav, but Amos say, but look at the end of the Mishnah. Mishnah said, Mishanerfa, if the calf was already decapitated, then dekaveh b'mekayma, then it has to be buried in its place. Now the inference is, only if it had a rifa. But if it didn't, even if it's Nachal Esan, then you wouldn't bury it. Why wouldn't you bury it? It's already usur Mechaim according to Rav Nuna. No, Tanei says the Gemara, no, you have to read it. It means Mishaneris La Rifa. When it was already able to do that Rifa, means Nachal Esan, then if they found that it was, he would still bury it, because you're right, it's Asa Michaim. But then says Rabbi Noam, Kain Eme Sefer, but then look a little further. The Mishnah continues and explains what's the reason. What do you mean? Why is it Tikav Mkaima? It turns out that it was not necessary. Says the Mishnah, no, Kusha Ala Safik Ba Metchila, because what was, even if it ends up being verified that we didn't need the Egla Rufa because we found who the murderer was, but the whole bringing of it in the beginning was because of doubt. Kippur Sveiko, it was brought, and it atoned for its doubt. Bahachala, now it's finished, and now, when you find the murderer, you have to go ahead and execute him. But it did its job, and therefore it's considered like the halachic element of Egla Rufa, which has to be buried, it's forbidden to have benefit. Says Rava, but the Imechaim, but if you look at Rav Nuna, that it's forbidden when it's still alive, and that would be even the qualification, means Mishaneris La Rifa. So then Adayin Loi Kepes Veikasa. What he's saying that it atoned? It did not atone at doubt yet, because it's still alive. Yes, it's Asr, but how could you say it atoned? It's only when it actually has the decapitation. So you see, not like Rav Nuna. Says the Gemara, so you're right, Tanoihi. It's actually a Machloikis Tanoim, if it becomes forbidden when it's still alive or not. And the Brisa of Tan Rebbe Shmuel that we're going to quote right now holds that it's Asr Michaim. You're right, our Mishnah proves that it's Asr only Lach Arifa, but this following Brisa of Rebbe Shmuel proves that he holds that it's Asr Iv Michaim. And that's the Machloikis Amara, the Tan Lagluna Brisa. Nema Machshir, the Torah discusses something that prepares someone to be able to be related to Kachim. That's what's inside the Beis HaMikdash, meaning the procedure is done in the Beis HaMikdash, like Dasha Metzaira. When the Metzorah brings his Karban Hashem, it permits him then subsequently to go into the Beis HaMikdash. And there's Umachabe Bifnim. There's also Karbanis that are atoners that are in the Beis HaMikdash, like all other Karban Chatzis and Hashem, where that's done in the Azara, and that it's not for Machshir, it's not to allow someone to partake of Kachim, but rather it atones for it. Now, so too, Venema Machshir, it also discusses things that prepare someone to be able to partake in elements of sanctity, which those are done out of the Beis HaMikdash, like the Tzipor Mitzvah, when the Mitzvah brings his birds, that permits him to go into Machni Yisrael, and Umachapa Bachotz, and there's also things that are also things that are out of the Beis HaMikdash that atone, like the Sar HaMashtalech, that's the on Yom Kippur, the other he-goat is thrown off the cliff, it's not done in the Beis HaMikdash, the Egla Rufa also atones, but it's not done in the Beis HaMikdash, it's done in that valley where they found the dead person. Now, so therefore, it says the Tanya Rabbi Shmuel the following comparison. Ma machshir mechapo am bifnim, just like we find by the karbanas that are preparing, like we said, the Hashem Metzayr, and those things which are not preparing, that atone. Also, by machshir, we compare those which are preparing someone to partake of kachem, like the Hashem Metzayr, ke mechapra has the same halacha, like all of the chatzas of Hashem, same halacha, it's like a regular carbon. So, af machshir mechapo am bachutz, so we make the same comparison regarding things that are machshirin and things that are mechaprin that are done out of the Beis HaMikdash. Then asa machshir, we're going to compare those things that are preparing someone to partake of kachem, like the birds of the mitzvah, that it's going to have the same halacha that it's going to be forbidden to have benefit of it even when they're still alive, kimachaper, like those things out of the Beis HaMikdash that are things that are for atonement. Like what? Like the Sar HaMashtalech and the Egla Rufa. Meaning, obviously we see that this Tana holds that the Egla Rufa is already forbidden when they're still alive. How do we know that? Because just like we're learning out the machshir, which is the Tzipor Mitzvah from the Mechaper, which is from the Sar HaMashtalech, so too we're going to for sure learn out the Mechaper from the Mechaper, meaning to learn out the Egla Rufa, which is the Mechaper, from the Sar HaMashtalech, which is the Mechaper. And we know that most definitely that the Sar HaMashtalech is Aser even when it's still alive, because it's like all other Kachim, which is Aser even when it's still alive. As the Gemara explains, it's in Kedushin, Tafnan Zayin and Aleph, and therefore you see that obviously he holds that so too the Egla Rufa is also Aser Michaim, that's like Rav Amnuna, and yes, and our Mishnah is like Rava, which that's the Machlokes they had regarding when does the Egla Rufa become forbidden. Is it Michaim when it goes to Nachal Esen, or is it only after the Arif? Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah, which we discussed, regarding the halacha of when is it appropriate to bring an Ashram Tali. So Rabbi Yazar, I mean, he says, Misnadav Adam Ashram Tali B'chalim. A person could donate an Ashram Tali every single day. Whenever he wants to. And Hu Ha Yenikra Ashram Chasid. And this was actually called the Ashram, the guilty offering of the pious ones, which is always suspecting themselves, maybe they sinned. You could bring it every single day. Now, Amar Lav Bava Ben Buta, which this actually is a different opinion, they said regarding Bava Ben Buta, Shahayi Misnadav Ashram Tali B'chalim. They actually, he donated every single day an Ashram Tali. Except for the day after Yom Kippur. Why? Amar, he actually said, Hamayin Hazeh, he says, I swear by the Beis HaMikdash, that Ilo Hayim Anichin Li, if they would allow me, Hayisi Mevi, I would have brought even the day after Yom Kippur, which is like the first interpretation of Rebbe Eliezer. But Elo Oimim Li, but they tell me, and this is the other interpretation, Hamtun Atshet Dekonis Le Beis HaSafik. You have to wait until you come to an element of doubt. Meaning, all the other days of the year, you could suspect, out of doubt, no one's perfect, and maybe you sinned some big sin, negative prohibition. But now it's right after Yom Kippur. You can't doubt because you already have the atonement of Yom Kippur. So therefore, the day after Yom Kippur he wouldn't bring, but every other day he would. Which is this is different, as we'll explain the Gemara, than the first opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Now, Machamim, they totally disagree. They say no, ain't maybe Ashram Tali. You can only bring Ashram Tali. Ella al shezidayne karis b'shigagase chatas. Only regarding a doubt of something that you're not sure. If you did it, and if you did it deliberately, would be chiyuv karis. If you did it by mistake, would be karma chatas. Regarding such a doubtful act, that's when you bring an Ashram Tali. Now, related, the Mishnah explains that chiyuv chatos v'asham is v'adoin. Someone had a definitive, he knew he had to bring a karma chatas, an Ashram, whatever the situation was, sha'avale in Yom Kippurim, but he didn't bring it yet, and already Yom Kippur passed, the Day of Atonement. Still says the Mishnah, chayyavan lehi b'lach Yom Kippurim. Even after Yom Kippur, you still have to bring those karbanas. But, as we mentioned this idea before, v'chiyav ha'ashram is t'luyin p'turin, but the obligations of Ashram Tali, that gets exempted on Yom Kippur. And that's actually why they told him to Bevamimuta, don't bring the day after, because the Ashram Tali, that's regarding an obligation, only up until Yom Kippur takes care of that obligation. Now, similarly, the Mishnah continues, Misha Baba Yodhi Savak Aver B'Yom Kippur. If someone on Yom Kippur is in doubt regarding if he committed a sin, Afilim chashecha, even it's right when it's about to get dark at the end of Yom Kippurim, Pati is going to be exempt from being an Asham Tali, Shekola Yom Echap, because the whole day of Yom Kippurim, including the last moments, atone, and therefore, that includes even the Asham Tali that you might have done right then, right before the end of Yom Kippurim. Again, once Yom Kippur passes, there's no obligation. Now, in contrast, however, Ha'isha Sheyeshalo Chatas Ha'ev Safik, a woman who, let's say in the situation, is not sure if she gave birth as a Yeledis, or if it wasn't qualified as a birth, so she's not sure if she has to bring her pair of birds. So the halacha is that, so the oilasav could be in the dava, but the chatas ha'if, the halacha is, although generally we don't allow chatas out of doubt, but the chatas ha'if she could bring out of doubt. Now, let's say she has an obligation to bring this chatas ha'if out of doubt, but for avala Yom Kippurim, she didn't bring it yet, and Yom Kippurim already passed. Still chayevis lehi Yom Kippurim. Here's not like the suffix of Asham Tali. Here she'll still have to bring it after Yom Kippurim. Memneshu machsheris lechel b'zavachim. Here's not an atonement which Yom Kippurim atoned for. The reason why she brings her chatas is as a way of a kedusha, of sanctity, of allowing her to partake of karbanas that Yom Kippurim doesn't take care of, and then she'll still have to bring it after Yom Kippurim. Now, additionally, another halacha of chatas oif abal asafik regarding this doubtful chatas oif that she has to bring, if after the malika is done, which is the shechita of the bird in the Beis Hamikdash, it becomes known that she actually was not a yeledis, she doesn't have to bring it, so then they cover, then that bird gets buried. Now, the Gemara asks, my time with Rabbi Eliezer, what's the reason of Rabbi Eliezer that he says that a Asham Tali could be brought as a nedava? What do I mean a nedava? Asham Tali is if you're not sure of your sin regarding a specific sin. Why does he say you could just donate it every single day? So as a Gemara, the reason is because Isa Gedaita Chayvahi, if you would entertain to say that the Asham Tali is obligatory carbon, so then why is it that when Misiadale, when he becomes aware definitively that he knows that he sinned, Amai Maisi Chatas, why do we say then that he has to bring the carbon Chatas for the sin that he sinned, let's say eating Chaylev, but he already fulfilled his, quote, obligation, he already had his Chayvah, which is Asham Tali. No, Nadav, he rather obviously that no, because the Asham Tali is not the Chayva, because then you wouldn't have to bring the Chatas. Obviously, it's a donation, like a gift of an Oila or a Shlamim, and therefore, that's why you have to bring it when you become aware. Oh, if it's Nadav, so you can bring it whenever you want, you can bring it every single day. Now, but Rabbanan, they disagree, they say no. Oila v'shlam hu da'asa b'nadav v'nadav. No, it's different. You're right, Oila and Shlam, those are things that can be brought with a vow or donated. Avachatas v'asham, let's say chayvininu. That everyone agrees by karmachatas asham. Those are obligatory karbanas. Now, what's a v'asham talik? So they disagree with Rabbi Yazah. They say, hainu tamid demaisi mekmeid demisiyadale. The reason why you bring it before you become aware, and you're right, once you become aware, you're going to have to bring your chatas and asham. It's not because it's an adava, and it's not because it's a chayva. It's lahaginilav. It's to protect the person from afflictions until he becomes aware that he sinned or not. Because the Torah is concerned with the body of the Jewish person, which is he's going to get afflictions for not having an atonement for the sin. Now, he doesn't know, but bring a Hashem Tali, and that will protect you from affliction. That's why it's brought. But it's not the Chayva, and it's not the Nadav, and therefore, once you find out, you're going to have to bring your Chayva, the Chatzis. Now, however, the Gemara asks on the opinion of the Rabbanu, Amali Ravacha, Bered, Rav, Ravashi, says, but Dilma Hashem Tali, maybe the Hashem Tali, since it's such a lenient carbon, because you could bring it even in a situation of doubt, so maybe you should also be able to say that it's halacha should be ka'ilav shlamim. Why? Ma'ilav shlamim, that just like the totally burnt sacrifice or the shlam, the asu b'chayva, that they're brought sometimes obligatory, like on Yom Tovim and the Shalosh Regalim, you have to bring a'ilas ri'ya, shamech hakiga, these are karbanas that are brought on every Yom Tov, and they're obligatory, and they're a'ilav shlamim. Vasim nadava, those are brought as nadava, you could donate a'ilav shlamim. So Asham Tali Nami, maybe we should say the same thing Asham Tali, the asu b'chayva, asu nami b'nadava, that you're right, it's obligatory. It's not just in the dava, but maybe we should also be able to say, should we be able to bring in the dava? Like you see, it's a lenient type of a carbon. Maybe you should have the halacha like oil and shlamim. So Amalei said to him, no, you can't compare because oil and shlamim, ikar ben the dava ksimi. The primary carbonists that they're brought as, you're right, there are some that are chayva, but the primary are they're written as in the dava. Asham Tali, ikar ben chayva ksimi. In contrast, Asham Tali is the Torah makes an obligation that when you don't know if you're sinned or not, then you have to bring Asham Tali. So, therefore, you can't compare the two and say that, oh, maybe therefore it should also be able to be brought as Nadava. It's possible, but definitely we're not going to learn that from comparing it and asking the Rabbanan from comparing it to Eilat Shlamim, because those are primarily written as Nadava. Here it's primarily written as a Chayva. Now, the Gemara continues, Tani Reb and the Gir says, Chanina Kamei de Rav, he taught the following prices. Continue to Midbeis. Says, Ashem Tali Baal Nevela. That the suspended Ashem, when you're not sure if you commit a sin, comes even for a sin about if someone's not sure if he ate in the vela, a non-kosher slaughtered piece of meat, which that's in what's called an isra lav. It's just a negative prohibition. It's not something that if one would do it deliberately, would get karas and by mistake bring a karma chatas. That's what the Brisa says. Somebody said to him, how could you quote this Brisa above Anan? It's not good. In the Mishnah that said, Vachamim, the sages say, no, Eina maybe Ashim Tali, Elab Davish has done it karis, the Bishagur Gasechatis. Ashim Tali is only brought when you're not sure regarding a sin that if it was done deliberately, we'd get karis, and if it was done by mistake, we'd bring a karma chatis. And the Vedal doesn't have that if one deliberately he would violate, he would get karis. And V'i Reb Eliezer, and if you tell me this Brisa is going like the other opinion of Reb Eliezer, but then Benedav and Namiasi, then it could even be brought as a donation, and therefore why would it be necessary to say that, oh, it could even be brought as an Avela? I mean, Avela. You don't have to have any Avela to bring Ashim Tali. So this is like neither opinion mentioned in the Mishnah. So Malay, so he said to him, my time Aloy Masnisa, why didn't you, either means to say, why didn't you learn with clarity regarding the Mishnais and the Brisis, or he was telling him, why didn't you learn in front of Rabbah, and then you would have known the interpretation of this Brisa like me, that Zimnin Sagi and Tanisa Kamemar. Many times I taught this Brisa in front of the master. Umanu, who's the master? That's Rabba. Vamali and said to me, Hamani, who's the town of this Brisa? You're right, it's not like Reb Eliezer or like Rabbanan. It's Reb Eliezer he da Amrulai. It's the Reb Eliezer of that they said to him, which was that other opinion we mentioned in the Mishnah. They're not like learning the Mishnah that Elo Amrulai, but they said to him, Hamtin Nachat Kanas Beis HaSafik. He wanted to bring every single day, even the day after Yom Kippurim. But regarding the day after Yom Kippurim, they said to him, then no, you have to wait until there's at least an element of doubt. There has to be somewhat of a prohibition over here to be able to bring the Ashram Tali. And that's what we're saying, that yeah, even from the Vela, which is just a love, anything that is a speck regarding a prohibition, even just a negative prohibition, not Karis and Chatas, would go ahead and allow a person to bring an Ashram Tali. Now, says Gemara, Rabbi says, my time of the Amrulai, what's the reason of this opinion of this Amrulai of Reb Eliezer, that Ashram Tali could come for any what prohibition, even like a negative prohibition of an Avela? Because Amakra, the Pasuk says, in the Halach of Ashram Tali, says, Ashaloi se'asena, which if it shouldn't be done, ba'ashram and he's guilty, which the Pasuk is saying that even if this error was only in something that just shouldn't be done, which any negative prohibition shouldn't be done, that would be a liability for an Ashram Tali. So Amar Rabbi says, my time of the Rabbanah. What's the reason Rabbanah da'ami that they say, no, aim of in Ashram Tali, ala davish has done a karas v'shaka kasei chatas, that the obligation of Ashram Tali is only when you're not sure regarding something that was done deliberately would be karas, and by mistake would be a karma chatas? Because yalfi mitzvahs mechatas chilv, they learn a gzeres shava from the regular karma chatas, where it says mitzvahs, and it says mitzvahs by the Ashram Tali, which teaches us, ma'ala ha'an she's done the karas v'shaka kasei chatas, just like by the chatas. It's when you do it deliberately as karas and by mistake it's a karma chatas. Afkan davish is then the karas v'shaka kasei chatas, the gzeres shava mitzvah is also saying, here the Ashram Tali, when you're not sure about it, is specifically an iser, which if it was done deliberately would be karas, and by mistake would be a karma chatas. Now Tanabang, we learned a related brisa that says, Chamisha Ashamis Machapin. There's five carbon Ashamis in the Torah, the guilt offerings, that provide atonement, which those are Asham Gizelas, someone stole and lied about it. Me'ila, where he misappropriated from Hektish. Shevcha Karufa, he had relations with a maidservant who was engaged to another man. Another, regarding his purification process. Mitzaira, his purification process. So these five Ashamis that provide atonement. But Ashram Tali Eimachapin. And the Gersa takes out the next two words because it's actually part of the answer. The Ashram Tali, that does not provide atonement. Says Gemara, "My come, what is that saying? What does it mean? Ashram Tali doesn't provide atonement." Rav Yisuf says, "Hachim, this is what the Brisa was saying. Chamisha Ashram is mechaben kapar gemura. There's five Ashram is to provide a complete atonement. Ashram Tali ain't mechaben kapar gemura, but the Ashram Tali does not provide a complete atonement because when the person finds out that he did do this sin, he's actually going to have to bring a karmachata. So obviously, the Ashram Tali is not a complete atonement. Now that the Gemara points out, relating back to what we just said before, udilei Reb Eliezer." Then obviously this is not going like the Reb Eliezer that we mentioned of the Amrulai, the Amr that he said, Ashram Tali Bal Nevela, that the Ashram Tali is brought also with a doubtful issue regarding, let's say, eating a non-kosher piece of meat. Because if it was going like Reb Eliezer, he said that the Ashram Tali comes even regarding a suffix of having eaten a Nevela. Comes out that if Ashram Tali is on a suffix Nevela, that Ashram Tali actually does provide a complete atonement. Why? Because when you find out that, oh, you know for sure that the Nevela was eaten, that actually you don't bring a chatas for. So therefore, that means to say the Ashram Tali was the complete atonement. So if the Brisa is saying with absolutism that it's not a kapara gemura, must be not like Reb Eliezer, because only on situations where when you find out, you actually will bring a chatas, and that doesn't include Nevela. However, a different interpretation of the Brisa of Vinam, he says, no, this is what the Brisa was saying. Chamisha Hashama is five guilt offerings in achar mechapa kaparasan. When it was saying that its atonement means say only it provides the atonement and nothing else provides its atonement. So for example, let's say if someone by mistake committed me'ila, misappropriation of hektish, and he wasn't aware, and Yom Kippurim already passed, and then the chimisya de'alei them, and he finds out that, oi, he realized now that what he had taken then was really hektish item, it's already post Yom Kippurim, still, Maisi is still going to have to bring his asham me'ilas, and so to all those other ashamas, even after Yom Kippurim passes, he'll have to bring them. Whereas asham talei, acher mechapa kaparasei. Therefore, when they're saying it's not mechapa, it means it's not the only thing being mechapa, because something else could atone for the asham tali. Because when he finds out after Yom Kippurim, loy maisi doesn't have to bring it kidnatli, which is just the halacha we learn in our Mishnah. Chivei chatois v'asham is vadoin, regarding definitive obligations of chatos and asham, sha'avi alein Yom Kippurim, which Yom Kippur already passed, still chayav levi achim Yom Kippurim, still have to bring after Yom Kippurim. Whereas chivei asham is still in the term, but we said regarding the asham tali, if Yom Kippurim already passed, for that he's going to be exempt. That's the second interpretation of that brisa. Now the Mishnah says, as we just quoted, that chivei chatois v'asham is vadoin v'chulu, regarding definitive chatos and asham, that even Yom Kippurim passes, he's still going to have to bring it. So the Gemara quotes Ketani, yeah, we learned in the Mishnah, this contrast, regarding a definite, let's say, Hashem Me'ilis or some other Karmachatas, there was a definite obligation, where Yom Kippurim already passed, still going to have to bring after Yom Kippurim. But Chiyiv Hashem is Teluyim Paturin, but if he had an obligation on Hashem Talei, and Yom Kippurim passed, he's going to be exempt. Says Imam Manan Mili, where do we know this from? That an Hashem Vadai, unlike the Hashem Talei, Yom Kippurim does not atone for it. Says the Gemara, Kiyasar Avdimu, and Avdimu came, he said, Amr Ba'ami, Amr B'chanin, he said, because Amakra. Pasuk says, Amayikra, when it talks about the Karbanos in Yom Kippurim, says, V'chipur ala Kodesh, that the Kohen Gadol who does all the Avodah, he'll atone for the holy things, mitumis b'nei Yisrael, from the impurities of the Jewish people, umepeshem, from their deliberate sins, l'chol chataisam, for all their inadvertent sins. So the Pasuk is equating chataim dumi d'psham. It's equating, regarding the atonement that the Kohen Gadol is doing Yom Kippurim, for their inadvertent sins, similar to their pesham regarding their deliberate sins. So we make the following comparison. Ma pesham de la b'nei karban, what is pesham atoning for? A deliberate sin is not something that one brings a karban, because a pesha is merida, is rebelling, where he knows that this is forbidden and he's doing it anyway. As the Pasuk says in Melachim Beis, Melach Moiv Pasha Beis, it's rebellion. So that's obviously a thing that you don't bring a karban for. So avchatam de la b'nei karban, so too, when we're saying regarding the atonement Yom Kippurim, we're talking about a chet that is not something that has a carbon, like we said before, nevela, if someone eats a non-properly slaughtered animal, that's not a chatas. That's what mechaper. That's what Yom Kippurim atones for. Avach chatam b'nei carbon, but regarding sins that are things that have obligations of carbon, like a regular chatois and a shomiz vadoin, that loy mechaper, that we're seeing from the comparison to pesham, Yom Kippurim does not atone for. And therefore, that's what we said, even the Yom Kippurim passes, you still have to bring it after Yom Kippur. And the Gemara later on is going to explain, so where do we know that for the Asham Tali, the Yom Kippurim does atone for? Now, however, on this interpretation, Amalei Abaya said to him, no. It's not a proof from this pasuk. This pasuk that you just brought, that it was written in the context, that's referring to the carbon of what's called the he-goat that's brought inside. There's two he-goats. The sar lashem, which that the blood is thrown in the kodesh hakodeshim and the kodesh. And then there's the sar lazazel, which the peered he-goat that's thrown off the cliff. This pasuk that you're quoting is on the he-goat that's brought inside the holiest of the holies in Kippurim. The loy mechaper ala veris the mitzvah yidur, that it doesn't even atone for any sin that was known, which the Gemara in the beginning of Masechta Shavuos and Daf Beis Amud Aleph clarifies and says regarding a tumah that had a yediyah in the beginning, meaning he knew that he was tummy, but he didn't have a yediyah at the end, meaning when he went into the Beis Hamikdash in the state of impurity, he didn't know that he was tummy, and moreover, when he left, he never ended up finding out that he was tummy, which that would actually be the obligation of being a carbon, because that's the obligation of Tumas Mikdash Kedoshim. You knew, forgot, and then you knew. That's actually the halach of the carbon. He never ended up finding out that he was tummy when he went in. So that's what the Sar HaNasa Bifnim, the he-goat that's brought inside the Beis Hamikdash on Yom Kippurim, together with the actual day of Yom Kippurim, that suspends his liability, and therefore he's exempt, he's cleansed, until he actually ends up finding out that he did go into the Beis Hamikdash in a state of impurity, then he'll bring his carbon oil of the yared. That's what the Sar HaNasa Bifnim atones for, when there's no awareness. But if he was aware that he had sinned by going into the Beis Hamikdash in a state of impurity, meaning he knew he forgot and then he ends up finding out, that actually, the carbon that we're quoting from this pasuk, the Sar HaNasa Bifnim, does not atone for. So therefore says Abaye, so of course it's not going to atone for chatoim that are b'nei carbon like regular chatoim v'asham as vadai, because this Sarat Nasa Bifnim has a very small category that atones for. It's only for sins that the person doesn't even know that he sinned about. But contrast regarding the higot that's sent off the cliff, which that has a huge category of atonement. That provides atonement for sins that are even that a person knows that he sinned. As the Gemara says in the first paragraph of the Masechta Shavuos, that for all sins that a person commits in the Torah, deliberate by mistake, he knows, he doesn't know, the sar, anas, that lazazel, the stone off the cliff, that provides atonement for everything. So Emelech, I would tell you, afel al chatam, dimnei carbon in the mechaper. Regarding that carbon, that Yom Kippurim should atone for, is therefore back to the question. How do you know chatayis v'asham is vadai? Does not provide atonement through Yom Kippur. Why? It should be included in the atonement of the sar mishtalech. So Elam Abai rather, he says, no, mechacha. You could bring the source from a different pasuk, the same idea, but the appropriate pasuk, that of the Sar HaMishtaleach. On the Sar HaMishtaleach that's sent off the cliff, it says in the pasuk that before it's sent away, Visvadalov, so the Kohen Gadol would lean on the animal and he would confess on it, as Kol Avoinus B'nei Yisrael, all the deliberate sins of the Jewish people, as Kol Pashem and all their rebelliousness, L'chol Chataisim, for all their inadvertent sins. Here in this pasuk, the pasuk is equating Chataim Domi D'Psharim, inadvertent sins, to rebellious sins. Now, ma'apsham delab in the carbon, obviously when someone deliberately commits a sin against Hashem that's not allowing you to bring a carbon, afchatom delab in the carbon, so to even the inadvertent sins, which many of them are that you bring a carbon for, which ones are being atoned for by the sar lazazel are those which are similar to psham, which do not have a carbon for it, like nevela. You're right, but this is the source. But a sin that would have to bring a carbon, that Yom Kippurim is not atoning for, and here we're excluding it even from the context of the carbon of the animal that's the Sar Mishtalech, to tell you that even though it has a huge category that atones for, even so, those things which have carbonus for them, that it doesn't atone for. That's the source to say that for sins that have carbonus for them, that Yom Kippurim does not atone for. However, still, Omelah Rav Dimi asked on Abaye now. He says, "Mimai dahani psham la b'nei karbon." How do you know? But you're comparing chatom and b'nei psham, just like psham and not b'nei karbon, so to chatom, and that's being atoned for. In contrast to chatom that have carbon, that the Yom Kippur is not atoned for. How do you know the psham of that pasuk is referring to deliberate sins that don't have a carbon brought for it? But Dilma Hani Dibne Carbon, and maybe it's actually referring to deliberate sins that one does bring a carbon for. Where so? Aren't carbonus only for mistaken sins? No, Kaditnan. We learned the Mishnah in Perak Arba Mechusik Apar and the Testament Alf that said Arba Mevin Ala Zotin Kishkogar, the four types of categories that actually bring a carbon, just like when one does it by mistake, even in the case when you do it deliberately. Maybe that's the Pasuk Psham, and therefore you see Chatom de Mishum actually said that even if it's B'nai carbon, Yom Kippurim would atone for. Now, however, the Gemara says it manami. We actually learned another version like Abaya, even though we just had this question of Rav Dimi on Abaya. Kiyasa Ravan. When Ravan came, Omer Bgisi Omer Shlok, because she said the same source like Abaya. Said Vizvado Allah Veskolavoinis Bnei Yisrael Veskol Peshem L'chol Chatasam. The pasuk says that the Kohen Gadol will confess for all the sins of the Jewish people, their deliberate sins, all their inadvertent sins, and the pasuk is equating Chatam to Mibsham, inadvertent to the rebellious ones. Ma'psham de'la b'nei karbon mechaper, just like what's being atoned for, only like psham which don't have karbonus for them. Afchatam de'la b'nei karbon mechaper, so too the inadvertent sins are only for those that don't have karbonus. It's atoning for. Afchatam de'bnei karbon loy mechaper, but for sins that have karbonus, that Yom Kippurim is not atoning for. That you still have to bring even after Yom Kippurim, like the halacha of our mishnah. However, Amabai, he said to him, says anan nami mehadin karami. Says I also said the same interpretation from the same pasuk. But the actual Rav Dimi asked on my interpretation. Mimai dahani pesham de la b'nei karbon, and who said that when it says pesham in this pasuk, it means those deliberate sins that don't have karbonas? Demahanach de b'nei karbon, and maybe it's referring to those that do bring a karbon. Kedit not like we learn the Mishnah. Mishnah says arba mavid nalazad and kishkaga, four bring for deliberate sins like inadvertent ones. Maybe it's referring to those pesham. So how do you have a source from this pasuk? So Amalei Ravin responded to Abai. He says, no, that's not a question. Rav Pisham, la b'nei karbon. Most deliberate sins don't bring a carbon. That when it says Pisham in the Pasuk, it would mean those that don't have a carbon. To which Amalei Abai said to him, no. Midi Rav Ksiv, does it say the majority? Could be it refers to the Pisham, and if it's not a source. So Elam Abai, rather Abai says, Miresh Dekra. Rather, you can know this from the beginning of the Pasuk. In other words, from the fact that all you needed was the beginning of the Pasuk, therefore, the end of the pasuk, which is where we're learning out from, is superfluous to say the drasha of obviously it's referring to the psham of delab b'nei karbon, because the pasuk already said v'svado lo v'skolavoynis b'nei yisrael. The The Kohen Gadol confesses for all the deliberate sins of the Jewish people. Now, B'tanu in the Brisa that avoinus ilus doinus. The term avin refers to deliberate sins, because v'cheinu oimer, like it says, the pasuk in Midbar, it says avoinava, her sin is an har, which that's actually referring to doing avoda zara. And the pasuk obviously talking about b'meizah, doing deliberately, because the beginning of the pasuk said kidvar Hashem bazik, is disgraced the word of God, which obviously that's talking about when someone does a deliberate sin. So it really talks about that the Kohen Gadol is confessing and getting atonement for the deliberate sins. So then, so what do I need the end of the pasuk for? It's including deliberate sins, for sure we know inadvertent sins. And pesha is deliberate sins already including avinus. Why are you saying it? Obviously, it's like shui lipsham, because we want to make some type of a hekish of chatas to pesha. What would that be teaching us? Obviously teaching us that ma psham de labnei karban, just like a pesha. And that's why it's saying it, because else we would know from oven that we're talking about something that doesn't have a carbon. That so obviously when we're saying pesha, is saying that mapshum delabnei carbon, it's not bnei carbon, afchatam delabnei carbon. So too, the inadvertent sins are what's being atoned by Yom Kippur, is only those that don't bring a carbon, afchatam delabnei carbon in the limachaba, but it's type of an inadvertent sin that has a carbon wouldn't be atoned. Meaning, as Rashi explains, that you can't ask Rav Dimi's question anymore and say, well, how do you know? Maybe Peshayim is for those that do have a carbon. So that Rashi explains, no, because if we would be talking about the types of Psham that bring a carbon, meaning which you bring even Bezodin, then the Pasuk didn't have to write Peshayim, because it already said Avoinos. It already says Oven, which deliberate sin, and could have just written Chatasim, which would have sounded like that those that have a carbon, because generally a Chatas are those that have a carbon. So why do you write Peshayim? Obviously, it's superfluous to make the exposition to obviously compare something which we would not have known, which is this concept, to say that no, to the contrary, something that has a carbon is not what we mean when we say chatas. It has to be similar to most pesheim, which are most pesheim that don't have a carbon. Only those types of sins are being atoned for Yom Kippurim, but those that are chatas v'shem hazvadai are not being atoned for Yom Kippurim. The Mishnah continued and said, however, chayuv asham is taluyin chul, as we mentioned before, but the asham tali, once Yom Kippurim passes, it does atone for it. Says Yom Manon Miller, where do we know that from? Why would it be atoned for? It's something that has an obligation of a carbon, and you said that obligation of a carbon is not atoned for Yom Kippur. So Amar Balazi says, because Amar Kra, the Pasuk says of a Yikra, Mikol Chateseichem Lefnei Hashem Begomer, from all your sins that are in front of Hashem, that Yom Kippur is going to provide purification for. What does it mean, Lefnei Hashem? Chet She'in Makar Ba'ela Amakam, a sin that's in front of Hashem, meaning that only Hashem recognizes, because even the person himself doesn't know that he sinned, which is what Hashem Tali is, Yom Kippurim, Mechapa, the Pasuk is explicitly saying that Yom Kippurim will atone for it. Now, Amrav Tachlifi Avod Rav Huna Meshmei Derava, he actually says that from this same halacha, Kadmai Sinami, the first halacha, the previous halacha right before this, which was the obligations of a definitive Chatzis and Hashem, that our Mishnah was saying, oh, there you do have to bring it after Yom Kippurim. Loi teisei, don't bring it as a ketin tabach chavav manav lemifshatei, to learn it out from the previous sources we said. Loi min Rav Dimi, v'loi min Abaya. Rav Dimi we said because that pasuk is on Sarnas Befnim. And even not like Abaya, which Rashi says because he held it was a contrived answer, because you could still ask Rav Dimi's question on Abaya. Ela Mehol, rather he says, the source is actually from this teaching of Rabbi Lazar, that, what do we learn from this pasuk? Chet shein makar ba'el ha'makam. A sin that only Hashem recognizes, that's Yom Kippur Mechaper, which therefore the Hashem Tal is going to be atoned. But he says, Umina, the inference also works to teach us the other halacha. Chet shein makar ba'el ha'makim, only a sin that Hashem doesn't that only Hashem recognizes, who the Yom Kippur Mechaper? That's what Yom Kippur is going to atone for. Aval de yadaba, but something that he knows about, like a regular Hashem Vada, he knows he has to bring it, so that he does know, and it's not only Hashem knowing, that loy mechapa. The inference is obviously that Yom Kippur will not atone for, and that's the source, and therefore you don't have to come onto the psukim that Abaye and Rav Dimi had brought. You could know from the inference of the halacha of the Hashem Tali is atoned for, but Hashem Vada is not atoned for.